Well, good. Amen. You ever have one of those moments where you just feel your brain is fried? You know, you ever had that? I think I'm close to that.
Good.
I've been teaching kids and getting sermons prepared and everything. Just sometimes that just overloads you. But Lord, we thank you that you live within us. And Lord, I just pray that you'd come and Lord, refresh us and fill us, strengthen us. Lord, all that you are. Lord, we want to be that, where you are. Lord, fill this place with your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The Lord just had me this afternoon. I'll spend some time back in just Romans chapter 6, and we'll be jumping around a couple of places. And I've just kind of been speaking some things to me this week about just revival. You know, we hear that a lot, personal revival and stuff like that. And I think he's getting us ready, getting a people ready for that. And Romans chapter 6 is real important to that, because sometimes we have a tendency to begin to categorize everything that happens. But we'll just read a few verses in Romans 6 and go from there. Really good verse. Really good verses here. A lot of truth in here. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. But he had just been speaking about where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. That's a good word, isn't it? We can't ever out-sin the grace of God. And that's the good news. All right, so he says, may it never be. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? And we've been buried with him. I think there's a lot more here than we think of. When we were baptized into his death, our minds always go to the cross, right? We think that, okay, I've been baptized with him in the likeness of his death. When, you know, Jesus was on the cross, we went there with him. He died for me, but he also died as me. Okay? That's where we think. But when we talk about the death of Jesus, let's think about his whole life. Okay? Because Jesus was always dying to something, okay? He was always choosing, he was as man, he laid aside. And we'll see in Philippians, which is really, this is preaching to the choir here. I know y'all heard this 100 times, but how important this is. Familiar verses, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with the humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? Who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself. He denied himself. He died to himself. So where he emptied himself even here as his rights of God. Called kenosis, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the very point of death, even death on the cross. And therefore God highly exalted him. So, Jesus was always dying, right? Even from the beginning, when he laid aside his rights as God, and he just took on this nature of emptying himself, dying to himself, right? Always considering others as more important than himself. And there's no way that you and I can do that without death to ourselves, right? So when you see that, when it's, the Scripture says we become united with him in his death, that word actually means like two vines growing together that's just intertwined with each other, okay? So, and the reason I'm saying this is I don't want you to just look at Romans 6 as God just putting to death my sin nature. Okay? I was united with Jesus in his death. on the cross. I was united with Jesus in His burial, and I was also united with Jesus in His resurrection. It means a lot. Now, there's more to it. You know when God begins to speak to you and stir things in you, and it's hard to communicate what you're feeling? And again in verse 4, therefore we have been buried with Him through His baptism into death. Real important word. We've been buried into death. Okay? If we want to know personal revival in our lives, all right? We will never experience all that God has for us in the resurrection until we are buried into death. Okay? Because what I'm going to talk about this Sunday and a little bit tonight is the battle that we fight, you know. And I was telling TC, and I've said, y'all heard me say this 100 times before, most of us do not recognize warfare, right? That's the whole thing about warfare. It's deceptive. And so most of us go along our day not really recognizing warfare, you know, warfare that comes from the enemy and warfare that comes from our flesh, our fallen humanity, our selfishness. Right? Okay. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I want you to just hear these scriptures again. Therefore, we have become buried with Him through baptism into the death that He died. In order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might now walk in this newness of life. For if we have become united, that's that word that means that we are literally grown together. We've been grown together with Him in the likeness of His death. Certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Okay? Now, did some of Jesus or did all of Jesus die? And His humanity, all of Him died, right? He went to death. All of Him went into the grave. Follow me? And all of Him was brought up. So when we look at this, we've got to really realize, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 2:20, which is a verse we quote all the time, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live. But the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Okay? And so as you're reading this, and what I want to get you to do is just open your mind up a little more. As you ever go back to Romans chapter 6 and read it, it's not just categorized, oh, okay, you just put to death this part of me, this fallen nature that I have, this old man. Of course, yes, He did that. Okay? Because that one was pulled, gravity, just like we talked about that, they pulled it toward sin all the time. But also what was united with Him in death is my will. Right? As a believer, I'm ever forsaking my will to choose anything anymore. You get it? You get me? Okay, and you'll see that when he talks about it. Oh, man. I think I'm going to explode. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, verse 5, we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing that our old self, that our old man, was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to that. And that is an awesome thing He did. Like, rendered that powerless. And you know, we've been talking a lot I've been teaching a Bible study on 1 John on Tuesday nights. And we hear sin, we just think of, you know, sin, just junk, right? Or dark, whatever we do, darkness and all this stuff. But when they heard that word, what they heard was, and you've heard this before, but it's more than this, a term to missing. Is actually what that word means, to miss, like an archery term, to miss a mark, or a path you're walking down, okay, to miss the path. So if you're on walking and you're in sin, you're walking on a path that's cut of sin. And when you're set free from that, you're now set on a new path. That's what they heard. So I've been delivered from this path, now onto this path, okay? For he who has died is freed from sin. Amen. That's an awesome thing. Freed, justified. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that now we shall live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, and death no longer has power or is master over Him anymore. Hallelujah, right? For the death that He died to sin. Once for all. But the life that He now lives, He lives to God. Even so, just like this, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but now you're alive to God in Christ Jesus. Do not let sin reign in your body that you should obey its lust. Don't go on presenting the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but you are now under grace. Great thing, right? Here's the thing about grace that I think the Lord's wanting to get into our hearts. Grace versus law. And everything the law required from us, even then with tithe, there was always an exact, right? But grace requires more of you than the law did. Because what grace requires of you is everything. Right? So a lot of times when we use the word grace, oh, you got grace to you, I got grace, I'm not going to give myself to this, or I'm not going to do that because there's grace. Well, actually, grace says you give it all. Right? Okay, I'm going to read one more thing, and we're going to jump around. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one you obey, either of this sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that once you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed. And having been freed, you have now become a slave of righteousness. But now being freed from sin, you are now enslaved to God. And you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, life. Okay? So in all of this stuff, what I'm saying is basically this. If I just look at being united with Him, Jesus, and His crucifixion and death, as just Him just taking care of a sin problem in my life, okay, then I'm going to really miss out on what that is all about. Okay? I've got to see myself as being united there with Him. And that I have forever died. And that now, what I was a slave to this old man and just my thoughts and doing what I wanted to do. Scripture says now you become enslaved to God. Forever doing His will. And that's how Jesus lived. He delighted to do the will of God all the time. He was always, we hear bishops saying that, He was always setting the Lord before Him. He was always beholding His face. And Scripture says in the book of John, in anything and everything, He always did the will of God. How many times do we fight that? I know I do, And what I mean is, y'all, as things get rolling even better and more in this revival, y'all, there's going to be things required of us even more. To whom much is given, much is required. Right? And all this has to do with you being united with Christ. In that likeness where Jesus was always dying to the flesh, always dying to that His humanity, not a fallenness, but always that He was tempted with that, to not give Himself fully, to press through at this time, especially at the cross when He said, "Father, if you can take this away from me," but nevertheless, Not my will, but yours be done. And how many decisions do we face in life or to go to do things where we actually ask God, is this what you want me to do? What is your will in this area? You know, when I've been working for, 21 straight days without a day off, and there's another service that I have to go to or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Am I really surrendered there? I mean, do I say, what do you want me to do here, Lord? Because, see, I've died. And then Colossians, this is really cool verses. I've been thinking about this all day. And this kind of intertwines with Romans chapter 6. If you then have been raised up with Christ, we have, right? Hey, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your intent, your affections, your mind on the things above. That just means be really intent, not on the things that are on the earth. This is for every believer, every Christian, not just super Christians or anybody. Listen to this. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is now your very life, is revealed, made manifest to you, then you will be revealed with Him in glory. Real powerful words here. Right? For you have died. What part of me? All of you. You've died. What happens when I die? I die to me, right? What I want, my desires, my will, where I'm going, what I'm going to choose, what all this kind of stuff. I've died. And my life is now with Christ in God. I love that. So when He is revealed, who is my very life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with Him in glory. Now see, I'm going to have to really get that. I'm talking to me, okay? I'm going to have to really get this in me. Okay? Which is a daily choice I have to make. Because Scripture, over and back in Romans 6, it says, reckon yourself to this. Consider yourselves as dead, but alive to God. Okay? And I have to present my members now, my body, everything that makes up that, as a slave now to obedience. I really am a slave, is what it says. I'm a slave to obedience now, right? Because I've died. I've been enslaved to Him. I can't tell you how much of my life I don't live like that. Right? Can y'all help me, Greg? Make me feel bad? And how many selfish choices and decisions I make. Right? I made a lot this week. Just think about, oh, me, my, oh, man, I want to do that. Oh, my gosh, I got to go do that. See? Just what I'm doing? Wait, Greg, you've died. And your life is now hidden with Christ. Oh, okay. Jesus, I can say it all I want to, but if I really want this, what do you want to do here? How do you want to live through me? Because I've got to die to that. I've got to humble myself and become obedient to the point of death. Obedience always leads you to death. Death to myself. Doesn't it? So if I want revival in my life, y'all, I've got to get this. Because the more I empty myself, the more He can fill. The more I die to myself, the more He can reveal Himself, as Colossians says, to me. Okay, if it's my life and I'm not dying and I'm not reckoning myself or believing that I'm with Christ, then I'm going to get very little revelation. But the more I empty myself, and the more I become united with Jesus in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection, then the more I'm going to experience Him. Y'all, we wake up with that choice, right? With needs pulling at us, you know, to do that. Busyness, you know. And I just think that that's just going to make us face what God has for us in the future a lot different. I wonder if this revival just explodes here and you have, like they have at IHOP, you have church 24 hours a day here. And requirements for us around here at CTK are going to become so much. What are you going to do? Are you going to pick and choose like we normally do? I just don't feel like going. Yeah. What? I thought I've died. I thought it says here that you died, Craig, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, I'm not talking about that the Lord won't give you times of refreshment. I'm not talking about it. Y'all understand me. Well, I'm just saying that we're not going to get there personally if that we're not willing to go there. Because it is going to require death to my will. 95% of what you fight is your flesh, is your humanity. Matter of fact, it says in Galatians chapter 5 that your flesh wars against your spirit. And your spirit fights against your flesh. That means my flesh is against the things of the spirit. So when things of the spirit are happening, my flesh is going to complain about it. And I don't recognize that as being the warfare. It says it right there. Your flesh is going to war against your spirit. If you go back and read it, it says, so that you may not do the things that you please. So, are you saying, Lord, that the things that I do that I please mostly come out of my flesh? Yep. That's exactly what He's saying. But those who are being led by the Spirit are what? Sons of God. Okay. Now, I'm preaching this to me. Y'all understand that? How much of your life is Spirit-led? As opposed to led by your desires. Gosh, I would hate to see a percentage in my life right now, because I would probably be just so bummed. You know, oh my God. I'm doing at least a little bit better than that, but probably not. You know? Because I started thinking of that. Gosh, how many decisions do I make that are just so, I just don't think that. You know? Or I just complain or like, oh, crap, you know, do this again. Another service we got to go to. Oh, man. You know? I'm definitely not being led by the Spirit there, am I? But see, when we recognize our flesh, y'all, and I'm going to be talking about this a lot Sunday, when we recognize the warfare of our flesh, and your flesh loves to be pampered and cuddled, you know, that's the reason Jesus has to crucify it. It likes to relax and hates the cross. Because it says these are the deeds of the flesh, immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Sensuality means I live by what feels good. Hello? You know? That's warfare. That's part of your flesh. That was crucified. I'm not under it. I'm not under such power that I can't choose no. That's what Jesus did. It goes on to say after that, after it gives the fruit of the Spirit, you know that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified its flesh with its passions and desires. Right? So that's an encouragement to us. Because I really feel like the Lord was giving me a word that, you know, Craig, we're going to, you know, even though our flesh wants things to maybe settle down a little bit. They're not. They're going to pick up. You know? You're going to have more services. You're going to have more people coming into Selma that want to have a service. You're going to have more of this. Now, what are you going to do? You know? Are you going to see me in this? Are you going to say, okay, I've died, Lord, what do you want to do in this situation? You know, I've always found out, no matter how much I gripe and complain, when I usually surrender to that, the Lord just does it. He just fills me with peace. And I get okay. It's just the battle getting there. You know? And then if I do complain and gripe about it and go do my own thing, I'm miserable. Aren't you? But this is a word of encouragement to us. You understand, every word from the Lord is just to encourage us. Go back and see what, okay, Lord, what agreement did I sign with you? You know, when I did this. Romans 6 is a good place to go. You know, any place that talks about you died now, your life is hidden with Christ. That's the best place in the world to be, that you're in Christ. And you're seated with Him in the heavenly places. And you died. And it's no longer your will anymore. It's His will. And if you follow His will, you're going to get the revelation of Him. You will find, actually it says in here, you will find your life. You will find life. And you'll find Him. Amen. So those days are ahead of us, y'all. All right? Go ahead and start dealing with it now. So you won't have to deal with it then. But if you deal with it now, you'll do really good then. Because it is going to pick up. Okay? We are in times of revival. You know? Amen? All right. Good. I finish early. I got to always finish early.